The following podcast is presented by the Society of American Magicians.
Hi, I'm Bruce Calver, SAM President from 2008 to 2009. Welcome to the Backstage SAM Podcast. On July 1st through 4th, 2015, the Society of American Magicians will present its 87th annual convention in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It will be the fifth time the SAM has congregated in Philadelphia. Since 1929, when the first convention was presented in New York City, the SAM has visited a multitude of cities, including Omaha in 1958, Detroit in 1932, Providence, Rhode Island in 1941, and Buffalo, New York in 2009. Of all those years, 1956 was very special. Why? Well, that was the year the Society of American Magicians decided to produce their annual convention outside of the United States. That's right. It was a very special time, and the events that took place were long remembered for years. I remember various old-time magicians telling me about the great time they had at that convention outside of the United States. Many of the attendees felt that this was the best convention ever produced by the Society. Well, I tracked down Warren Capps, a past president of the SAM from 2001 to 2002, who with his mother and as a recently graduated law student journeyed to this event and agreed to speak to us about it. Unfortunately, in modern day digital times, our telephone connection from Rhode Island to Florida was not the best for this interview, so please excuse the sometimes echoey sound. It will be worth listening to the tales that Warren has for us on this visit outside the country. We take you back to 1956, 2 months before I was born, to hear this amazing story. Oh yeah, where was the convention held? Havana, Cuba.
I'm probably the only one still alive from the convention. I think so. I don't know of anybody else. I was teaching at that time in Fayetteville, Arkansas, at the university. Mm. And my mother drove, I saved up enough money for my big salary to buy a car, which my parents bought for me in New Jersey. And my mother drove from New Jersey to Fayetteville, Arkansas alone. And I had finished my last class, and then I took a bunch of blue books for the tests for the kids that I was teaching, and we left Fayetteville, drove to Miami, and then took a plane over to Cuba.
After boarding the propeller plane, the 45-minute ride landed them on the island of Cuba.
Sure, it was a nice, modern airport, not the biggest airport I've ever been to, but in 1956, the airports weren't what they were today. We went through customs very easily. Everybody spoke English. We got a cab, and I took my mother to the convention. And we took a cab, and the one thing that I remember is when we got to downtown Havana, there were men walking around with big signs, holding them overhead, and on the signs were numbers. And I had never seen that before. I had no idea what it was. And it turned out there's a national lottery in Cuba at that time. And they would actually sell numbers that could be the winning numbers. And that's how these people made a living.
So in one, they shared in the proceeds.
The evening shows were held at a theater in downtown Havana that held, I would say, at least 3,000. So it meant selling tickets. And so we came up with a brilliant idea. Let's predict the winning lottery number. And we put a chest in the window of a downtown department store. And if you came to the show, we would read the prediction of the winning lottery number, removing the chest and so on. The guards there to guard the chest and so on. The mentalist was going to be Milbourne Christopher. And then we found out that a lot of the Cubans were suspicious, thought this was the real thing. We suddenly became concerned that he was going to be kidnapped. We had to get armed guards for Christopher until the evening of the show.
When they arrived at the hotel, they discovered that, independently from the convention, the hotel had hired a magician to perform nightly. Who was that magician? Del Rey.
The hotel had booked him. It may have been because of publicity. The convention was sponsored by the Cuban Tourist Bureau. And they went all out to do whatever they could for us.
So how many people were in attendance?
There were less than 300. It was the first convention outside of the USA, and it was less than 300. I would say the biggest contingent was from the New York area, probably about 50 from the New York area, and the rest scattered all over the country.
It was an interesting time in Cuba. Castro and his men were hiding in the hills, and Baptista's palace had already been invaded. Baptista was also hiding somewhere in Cuba. But the tourist board wanted some vacationers, so they went all out for the convention. They even served drinks and appetizers during the show. This convention was truly star-studded.
Well, Christopher was there, Dave Vernon, Sly Deeney, Johnny Paul from Chicago. It was one of the top close-up magicians in the country were there. It was a great time. As a matter of fact, the banquet, we had a banquet at the Tropicana nightclub, which seats about 1,500 spooks. At that time, it was allegedly the world's largest nightclub. Part of it was outdoors, actually. It was beautiful. And we put on a show for the nightclub. And appearing on that show was Sly Deeney and Dave Vernon. Could you ask for a better show?
The shows were held in a giant 3,000-seat theater. With only 300 attendees, it was very important that they sold tickets to the general public.
Oh, yeah, the theater was full. I think we sold out the theater because they were concerned they would lose money on the convention, but the ticket sale to the theater really sold out, and I paid really for the convention. Jose de la Torre, you may remember his name, was still in Cuba at that time. When Castro came to power, he immigrated, and I became very friendly with him. And he basically assisted in running the convention.
The Cuban government did all they could to make the attendees comfortable and happy.
When you'd leave the hotel, there was a cab waiting for you. A 1948 cab, the cabs were very old, but there was a cab waiting for you to take anywhere you wanted to go.
During this convention, a special show was commissioned. Here's Warren to tell you about it.
We were asked to give a special showing to Batista. And three of us got in the cab. And at that time, Batista was living in actually a military fort on the outskirts of Havana. And we got to the military fort, and there was a guard at the entrance, which didn't take much of it. The guy comes over us and he's carrying a submachine gun. Cab driver lowers the window. The next thing I know, the submachine gun is in the window. I thought we were going to get killed immediately. And we identified who we are. We waited maybe 20 minutes. And then we were escorted into Batista in the large room. And several of us performed. But the interesting thing, and this again involved the one Christopher, I don't know if you remember how we opened his act. He would come out and wave to the audience, and there would be a flash from his hand, and then he would be smoking a cigarette. That was his opening for years. He always opened the show that way. As he walked out of the show, you know, he had a piece of flash paper, and he just flashed it up. Well, he did this. Now, Batista was seated with about 20 other people, military and so on, in a semicircle for the show. When that flash paper went off, three guards rushed him, thinking he was there to assassinate Batista. So we had to calm everybody down. That was part of his act, and
totally harmless, and then the show continued. That was the exciting part. The other interesting thing that we did, the entire convention went by bus inland, about
an hour and a half trip, and we went to a military school. It was allegedly a school for military children of the military, and orphans. It was like a college campus. Gorgeous place. And we put on a show there for the children, and then went back. But all in all, you know, it was a great convention.
The banquet for this 1956 convention was also special. It was held at the Tropicana nightclub. Built in 1939, it was known as the world's largest supper club.
I think the show at the Tropicana was the best show I've ever seen. I mean, how can you... You got Soidini, Vernon, Johnny Poole on the show.
During the show, a distraction suddenly appeared.
All of a sudden, we began to see all the women leaving the nightclub and going into the casino. And I said, "What's going on?" He says, "Go look." I went in, and in the casino at the baccarat table was Errol Flynn, with two gorgeous women on each side of him playing, and all the women were gaping at him. There was a lot of interesting things that happened outside the convention.
The Cuban people absolutely loved magic and filled the theater every night.
The theater where the evening shows were held was over 3,000 seat theater, and the facility itself was a fairly modern theater for the time. So that the shows, you know, the lighting and the sound system were first class. And of course it's added to the ability of the performers to do well and for the audiences to receive them.
So was the convention packed with activities, or was there time to look around?
Much, and we had free time to do sightseeing. We all went to a museum in downtown Havana. It was an art museum, and very interesting. And we had a docent who took us around and told us all of the Cuban artists and paintings and so on there. And we had a trip to the military school, took the whole day.
So in 1956, a little less than 300 people flew to Cuba and had a Society of American Magicians convention. I asked Warren one final question. Was it worth it?
It's the second best convention, because the 2002 convention on Prejudice, since I was president at that time and really assisted in the convention. But it was really an outstanding convention. Everybody was thrilled by the acts that appeared and the hospitality of the Cuban people at the time. And I might add, that December,
the Tropicana was burnt down to the ground by Castro. It was a great convention.
Backstage SAM is brought to you by the Society of American Magicians National Convention. This year's festivities take place in Philadelphia from July 1st to July 4th and include lectures, performances, dealers from around the world, and the camaraderie of magic enthusiasts. Exciting shows like The Heart and Soul of Magic, The Magic of Spain, and Miguel Puga's one-man show will be presented over the 4th of July week. Register early for best seats and pricing. For more information, visit the website at www.magicsam.com. Then click on the convention link.
Welcome back. As we mentioned earlier, this year's convention in Philadelphia will be our 87th convention. So what determines where the conventions are going to be held? Well, the Society of American Magicians has a convention site chairman. That person happens to be John Apperson, another past president of the Society of American Magicians. We asked John about the criteria necessary to have your city host a convention.
Well, there's a lot of factors involved. I start just simply by asking the officers and generally the president and the chairman of the convention where they would like to have the convention.
So once someone gives you a suggestion on a city, what next?
So let's assume they say New Orleans. Then I work with Experian, Claudia Aubuchon, and she's a great help. And she will research. I'll tell her that we're looking at New Orleans. And so she'll send out a form that they have to all the hotels in the area that match our criteria. In the first place, a hotel has to have the room that we need.
The SAM conventions are packed with activities, so a lot of places are necessary.
We have to have two ballrooms, one for the dealers, one for the SAM stage. We have to have meeting rooms. So we've got a good idea of how much room we're going to need, how many breakout rooms. So that eliminates a lot of hotels.
Knowing that magicians bring their significant others and their kids to the convention, there's a lot more to look for.
Once we find a hotel, we check, see what's around the hotel. If it's sitting out nowhere, so you have to just live in a hotel for the week, that's not good, because people like to get out and do things. People bring their wives or whatever that's not really that interested in magic, and they need something to do. So taking all that into consideration, once that's determined and that the hotel would be suitable, then we have to start working with price and what we can get if we can afford it.
I asked John, what are the most expensive things you watch out for?
Trying to keep the room rate down. That's very important. We look at parking. Some hotels have $50 a night parking, and that's a real problem. So we take everything into consideration, and once I narrow it down, then I go back to the convention chairman. I may do a site visit. I'll go to the hotel and look at it, and then I'll get back with the convention chairman, and we'll determine whether that's going to be the one.
I've seen John in action doing his homework trying to find cities for the SAM. He works very hard.
We generally check three or four cities at a time when we're looking, like, I got notes upstairs. We're looking at right now at Grand Rapids, Las Vegas, New Orleans, and somewhere else that escapes me right now. And we'll send out spec sheets to all of those cities. We use the Convention and Business Bureau. They're very helpful.
So which criteria is the game changer that eliminates that city right away?
The first thing it eliminates most of them is the meeting space. The second thing that limits them is the cost. And hotels are just terrible when you're looking at things like $90 for a gallon of coffee. All those things really add up. So you have to try to keep the cost down as well as provide a nice meeting place.
So if a member of the SAM or a listener to this podcast has a suggestion for a city, are you open to hearing
it? I welcome it. I love people to, you know, give me ideas, and it's not going to, I don't mean I'm going to do that, because once we start looking at it, I've had people tell me, you know, let's go to Charlotte or someplace. And then when you look into it, and all the things have to come together. You have to be close enough to transportation. You have to have the hotel that has the room. The hotel has to have the dates. I love the suggestions. I'm, you know, always anxious to look somewhere else.
So, John, if someone wants to contact you with a possible city, a suggestion for a city, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, they can do email, SAM, Society of American Magicians, SAM@appsmagic.com. Or they could, if they want to write a letter and send it to 2812 Idaho, Granite City, Illinois, 62040.
Well, that's our first podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much to Warren Capps and John Apperson for their participation. Hey, we have a contest. So if you can answer this question, you might win a prize from our SAM gift shop. Could be a hat, could be a deck of cards, could be a scarf. You never know. Like with all magic, it's a surprise. Here's the trivia question. The SAM is holding their 87th convention this year in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. But what city hosted the most SAM conventions? If you know the answer to that, send us an email to trivia@magicsam.com. We'll accept all submissions till the end of this month, and then we'll put them in a top hat and select some winners. If you have any suggestions for future podcasts or just some comments, we'd love to hear from you. Write to me, Bruce Calver, at bruce@magicsam.com.
Backstage SAM is edited by G.B. Mack and recorded in the Top Hat Production Studio for the Society of American Magicians. I'm your announcer, Arlene Calver. Comments and ideas for future shows can be sent to bruce@magicsam.com. This podcast is copyright 2015 by the Society of American Magicians.